We're now joined for our pregame interview with the head coach of the Princeton Tigers, 2-1 Princeton coming into the game this week, and Tommy Hotmer. First up, Coach, nobody really mentioned it. We didn't really highlight it too much, but it sounds like your voice is back this week. It was kind of rough last Wednesday.
Yes, it's getting a lot better.
Outstanding. You won, so when you win, you don't have to yell as much.
Yeah, sometimes that's the case. But, yes, it always helps things a little bit, I think, when you're able to put together a better performance.
So I was at Gallatin last week, and it was just, as I told people, I said, I've been in worse weather, and obviously I was indoors, but just with that heavy, whatever you want to call it, a heavy mist and that light rain, boy, everything was just soaked in water, and it just kind of felt like one of those just nasty nights to play football.
Yeah, it was. And I'll be honest, I thought Polo's field was in much better shape than I thought it was going to be in. It held up very well, but the entire game, it was nonstop. It was what I call just an annoying rain. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a heavy rain,
right?
But it was definitely heavier than a mist, and it really kind of made things difficult as far as both offenses and their play call selection and handling the ball. But it was the same thing we felt from what you guys had.
Yeah, just a little bit south on 13, so I'm sure it was the same weather. 20-0, as I kind of described it, and obviously I wasn't there to see it, but it sounds like that you did what you needed to do to win, but maybe not the prettiest game you're going to have all season.
Yeah, I hope it's certainly not the prettiest game we have all season, but I thought our kids did enough. I thought our kids made really good in-game adjustments, especially in the second half. And they just found a way. And a sloppy game and an ugly game like that, you still got to find a way to do it. Someone's going to. And we were just fortunate enough that we were able to do it.
I tell you what, have you seen, because I had heard, but I hadn't seen any of the pictures, of the field conditions that Polo played in the week before down at Slater?
Yes, we saw the film. I mean, they didn't have numbers or hashes or anything on the field because it was so sloppy. And every time they put a new kid in, you definitely knew because their whole team was all black jerseys with the mud, and then they'd have one kid in with a fresh white jersey. So it was absolutely awful what they had to play in the week before.
Yeah, I saw a picture of it earlier this week, and it was mud in between the hash marks and the type of mud that it looked like a pig would enjoy rolling in.
Yes, that's a good description of it.
It was. So you threw a shutout last week, Coach. With a level of opponent or field conditions or rain or anything, you throw a shutout, you're doing some good things defensively.
Yeah, I thought our defense played well, and they gave us a big security blanket all night. We didn't allow any red zone trips, and quite honestly, we didn't really allow them to get inside of the 30 or the 40 most of the game. So we knew we could trust our defense. We knew we could play a little bit of a field position battle. A little bit different for me, calling the offense and having to be able to just trust our team doing that rather than being aggressive and doing things to go for it on fourth down depending on the field position. But we were able to do that all night and trust our defense, and that they played well. They tackled really well, especially in the conditions, but they've improved a lot since week one and just our tackling ability. Individually and as a team, I think that's given us a lot of confidence.
So we're talking about the weather conditions because they were similar for Gallatin and Polo. The Trenton-Gallatin game came down to Trenton turned over the football too much, and that turned into great field position for Gallatin. And it sounds like that was the thing that you were trying to avoid, where you said, if we make Polo go the long field, I think we're going to stop them. So let's not turn over the football. And sometimes in situations like that, a punt isn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, and if we had a really good job all night, with the few punts we had, we were able to pin them pretty good, pin them deep inside the 20, inside the 10, and I don't think that they could really recover from that. That helped us a lot.
So we know what Polo tries to do. I just got off the phone with Coach Schoening over at South Harrison. They're going to host Polo tonight, and Polo still comes after you with the run. Your run defense held up pretty well. Was it just a challenge of having to beat them at the line of scrimmage and tackle well, Coach?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I think that's just the tradition they have. And when you know you're going to play Polo, you're going to expect a big dogfight up front. And I thought they did a pretty good job with us on certain plays and at certain instances in the game of controlling the line of scrimmage. And it's just a lot of bodies coming at you really quick. So our guys did a pretty good job adjusting and eventually really controlling line of scrimmage with backers flowing and scraping and tackling well in space.
You know, it's the first thought I had when I saw your final on Friday. And maybe you thought it, too. It's just a little bit different than the last regular season game that you played there 2 years ago.
Yeah, just a little bit. We were talking about that. And I think I would probably rather this one anyway. That that last regular season 2 years ago was just an emotional roller coaster. So
what was the final?
One I'll never forget, even though we came out on the wrong side. But
refresh my memory, Coach. Was it like, I can't remember, was it 86 to 80? Were there that many points, or I'm a little bit high?
It was 80 to 73, mm-hmm. and I had thought we scored on the last play of the game. I told our kids we're going for two, but they ruled us out, and they let 3 seconds run off the clock without stopping it. So it was one of those games. It was still high scoring, 80 to 73, but I thought it could have been a little more.
You lost a lot less hair last week, Coach.
Oh, man, yeah, definitely lost a lot less.
So we got to shift gears. The weather is going to be just sparkling. There's a lot of homecoming games tonight, and I know that's going to work well with the great weather and the young ladies and the guys and all the things that homecoming are. Yeah, getting away from the homecoming discussion, you got a good opponent this week in the Milan Wildcats. You got to deal with on the road.
Yeah, we're going on the road for the third straight week, and so far we've done well for two of them. But our kids know that this is going to be a good fight for us. We know that they really want us as a big target they on our back, especially for the last couple of years and beating them. And we know they certainly want to keep rolling with what they've got going. So they've got a lot of young kids that have a whole year of experience or even 2 years of experience now with the group they've been playing, and they're certainly improved. So it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fun battle for us as we get into week two of our conference play. And we have to be ready to come, and like I said, just every week you got to control the line of scrimmage, and you have to win up front first for us to have a good shot.
Yeah, the storyline for this one is kind of as you touched on, where Princeton does not want to give up the conference title that you earned a year ago, and Milan's the only unbeaten team going in the conference right now. So their goals are they want to keep winning, and certainly with the defending champion come in, they want to get a W. That makes for a really good Friday night storyline.
Yes, it does. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think there's, I don't know that you'd call it a rivalry, but I think there's something brewing there. And every time we hook it up, whether it be football or other sports, I think there's always a new level of excitement and energy brought to that game. So we're looking forward to that this week.
You see them in Jamboree, and I'm sure Coach Dabney keeps things close to the vest, doesn't show teams nearly everything that he does in the regular season. But does it help you that you've seen them so often, Coach?
I think that originally I didn't like that. I really don't like playing on our conference teams in Jamboree. I'd like to see someone new, because not only do you see them in Jamboree, you see them regular season, and in our district's pretty well our conference too. So at some point in the year, you might be able to see the same team three times. And personally, I don't like it, but I also see some benefit of, hey, you're familiar with them, and you can kind of set the expectation early on in that Jamboree by doing some things really well that you can maybe put a little bit of doubt in their mind. And So there's some benefit to it, and there's some benefit of just seeing here's what they do and here's how everything will fit, and here's the expectation that it's gonna be required of you to be able to go out there and play well. So I think there's some benefit for both ways.
So there's when you do look at Milan, there's kind of two aspects to a good offense. Let's start with Ryan Dabney. They're running offense, but Dabney has proven the ability to, you know, maybe throw the ball 6 to 10 times a game, and that's one of those deals that every time he does, he's capable of hurting you. So how much concern do you have over Ryan's ability to throw the football?
I think he's just something that makes your back end have to make sure they're focused and do their job well. I think it's enough of a threat for them to have to make sure they're tuned in to every single play. But certainly, you got to stop that run game first. That's what they want to do. That's what they are focusing on doing. And if they get in a bad situation, second or third and long, they're going to trust him to be able to try to make a play. So that's our goal. You got to try to stop that run and make sure they become predictable and what their pass game is going to be. That way you can give yourselves a shot on the backside too.
So you got Dom Dabney, and it sounds like there's maybe a little bit of a thunder and lightning aspect to it, where you got Dom Dabney with a little bit of speed, and then you got the hammer inside and Jamuel Pagan. Is that kind of the way that coach likes to operate with them?
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Pagan kid, he's phenomenal. He's a really good runner. He's a really tough runner. I think he's probably one of the tougher runners we have in our conference, and they really rely on him a lot. He gets a huge workload, and then a little change-up is Dom Dabney. He's a really good edge runner, and they try to mix it up with their ISOs and traps with the Pagan kid to hit you with some nice sweep with the Dabney kid. So it's a different speed, and it's a little bit of different size. They're both pretty well built, so they're kids you have to really wrap up and tackle all the way to ground, or else they're liable to break some tackles. But it's a good change up for them.
It sounds like for you guys, and this is going off of week one when you struggle a little bit against Mid-Buchanan, last week was this kind of its own different animal because of the weather, and just having to kind of treat things differently with field position and things we talked about. It sounds like that week two win that you got at North Platte was one that really, really boosted the confidence of your football team and what they can be by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think it was a big step for us, and really just learning how to respond and how to be winners as people, and the type of intense preparation that it takes to be able to give yourself a shot and know that nothing's going to be given to us, and we have to go and earn it every week. And I think week one will, I think that'll be a big storyline for what we are able to accomplish by the end of the year and who we become as a team just by the way we respond, and for them to have to learn early on that we've got to earn everything we get. So I think that's big for us to experience early on, but certainly something you don't always like doing, but I think you find out a lot about your team and who you are, some more so in the negatives than you do in the positives.
Well, I'm just looking at your schedule as a whole here, Coach, and I know you take things week to week, and Milan's a big challenge this week, but you got Trenton next week, which is always, you know, pardon the pun, the big dog in the conference with enrollment and those things. We will find out a lot about your team here and whether they're ready to compete for that GRC title over the next 2-3 weeks. It's going to be a big stretch for the Tigers.
Yes, it is, and after this coming week, we're three in a row at home, so that'll be huge for us, too, to get back in front of our own fans. But we're in a gauntlet right now, and I think that's how the whole conference is going to be. I think everybody's pretty well balanced for the most part, so it's going to be a gauntlet every single week, and something you can never have a letdown on that, so we're excited for it.
It's a big game this week. As I said, I love the storyline here. You got Princeton, the defending champion, Milan, the only unbeaten team left in the conference. What happens? We'll find out Friday night at 7. It's Coach Thomas Hotmer of the Princeton Tigers. Coach, best of luck to you and the Tigers this week. We'll talk to you after the game.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate it.